You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. That's kind of in the later part of your New Testament. But 1 John chapter 4. Happy homecoming one more time, everybody. Come on, we are in our homecoming series called Homecoming. And here's what we've been doing. We've been talking about God's home. Today is the last message in our homecoming series. We're going to wrap this thing up today. Next week, we begin the Advent season. I'm so pumped for that. Amen. All right. But today, though, I want to wrap up this series and let's talk about what it means to come home. What it actually means to come home, what it means to be home with God, to be fully home with God now, and then how is it that we can stay home with God, okay? For the past 5 weeks, we've talked about what God's home is like. We've talked about who's there, what are the benefits of being home with God. Today, I want to talk about what it means to come home, what that looks like, all right? Here's the title of today's message, Welcome Home. Welcome home, everybody. Come on, we say that a lot around here, right? We say that each and every Sunday here at The Gathering. Church, listen, the church is made up of God's sons and daughters, right? The church is God's family. It's people who have trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus, okay? So God always intended for the church together to be a family and a home for each other. Regardless of your physical surroundings, when you're with the church, you should feel at home. And if you need to come home today, or if there's any area of your life right now, Grace, this morning, that you're living outside of God's home, man, we want you to bring that thing home today. If you need to come home today, or if there's an area of your life that needs to be brought home, we want you to bring that thing home today. Welcome home is what we say. So how do we come home? What does that truly mean to come home? What does that look like? All right, I want to start right here. Here's an incredibly simple definition for God's home. Okay, here's a definition for God's home. You guys ready? It's so easy, right here. God's home is faithful relationship with God and his people. God's home is faithful relationship with God and his people. God's home always takes place in the context of faithful relationship with God and with his people. Okay, so what do I mean by faithful? Well, I mean faithful. I mean consistent. I mean loyal, dependable, willing, loving, devoted both to God and to his people. Again, God's home is faithful relationship with God and with his people. It begins with relationship with God. You become a part of the family. You get adopted into God's family. You become a son or a daughter of God and gain a whole bunch of new brothers and sisters when you trust in, commit to, and rely upon God's son, Jesus. That's when and how your relationship with God really begins. And at that moment, your life is fundamentally and forever changed. The Bible says you become a brand new creation. You become a son or a daughter of God. And God says, "Welcome home to me and my family." Welcome home to a relationship with me and my family, because it has to be both, church. Do you know that? It has to be both. It can't just be one or the other. Listen to me, if you have faithful relationship with God, but not a faithful relationship with his people, you are not fully home. It's more like having one foot in the door and one foot out. In fact, I'm going to say something strong this morning, and this may shock you. But it's impossible to have a faithful relationship with God apart from his people. It's impossible to have a faithful relationship with God apart from his people. You won't be able to do it. God's purpose for your life and the mission he has for you as a disciple of Jesus always takes place in the context of you being a member of his family. In addition, it always takes place in the context of pursuing other people so that they can become a part of God's family. How many of you would really prefer not to deal with people, though? How many of your lives would be way less complicated if there weren't so many people making messes in your life? What about this, though? How many of you are glad that Jesus never said, "You know, I'm just not a people person. You know, I just really don't enjoy being around people." We'd be up a creek if Jesus wasn't a people person, right? Come on. Jesus is a family man. Amen? So listen, when you become a part of God's family, whether you know it or not, you become a family man or a family woman. You become a people person. God's home is full of people. And so get this, if you attempt to live the disciple life outside of the context of faithful relationship with God's people, you won't be able to faithfully fulfill the plans, the purposes, and the mission God has for you, which means you won't be fully faithful to him. I'm going to read from 1 John 4:20. If you got your Bibles right there, verse 20. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. It means they're lying about when they say they love God. Watch this, okay? For if we don't love people, we can see. How can we love God whom we cannot see? And so I get some of us would say, well, I don't hate my church family. I don't hate my Christian brothers and sisters. I just don't care to hang out with them that much. I'm just not really that interested in pursuing deep, meaningful relationship with my church family. Okay, I get very much. There's probably no one in this room that actually hates anybody else in this room. If that's the case, we're going to have an altar call at the end of service. Come and see us. But this is going to be strong right now too, okay? A grace this morning, all right? But what if your inconsistency, what if your unwillingness, your lack of devotion to, your unfaithfulness to the church family actually demonstrates that you really don't love them either? And we just saw if we don't love God's people, the truth is we don't really love God. You may not hate them, but you don't really love them either. And now this is going to be super strong, but I'd rather tell the truth and risk offending people than sugarcoat things. Come on, what if simply not caring about people, what if simply not caring about God's church family is actually a borderline hateful thing to do? May grace this morning, church family, but are you faithful with your church family? Are you consistent with your church family? When we're together, are you here with us? Are you devoted, or are there consistently other things that you choose that take precedence over being faithful with the church family? Are you willing? Are you looking for ways and opportunities to engage? Are you wanting ways and opportunities to serve and love and encourage and be generous towards your brothers and sisters? All right, so if you're here and this is hitting home really hard right now, then what do we do? What do we do? And at the same time, let me just say this. I know that there are probably many of us that would be more than willing. Like, I want to be devoted to my family. And maybe we've just never been shown how. Okay, maybe we've attended church for years and years, and we were never shown what it really looks like to be faithful to our church family. Okay, if that's you, or if what I've been saying is hitting home, here's where it begins. Here's how you can start. It's so simple. And we're just getting into this message. This thing is for free right here, okay? So listen to me, here's what you do. You determine now to show up consistently each Sunday. You determine now to be with us when we are together. If you don't know any other step to take, if you don't know any other decision to make, you make that decision to be committed and devoted to showing up. Make celebration service, this thing we're doing right now, a priority over all the other weekend things you've been choosing. You choose to be with the family, and then you need to be consistent with it. Engage your heart with the love that you begin to receive and the things that you keep hearing around here. And I guarantee if your heart is in it, you will begin to find yourself living in faithful relationship with God's people, and that will only increase your faithfulness in your relationship with God. Church, we need each other. Come on, we need each other. So check this out, okay? This is sort of the flip side of what we've just been talking about, all right? You can't just somehow have a faithful relationship with God and not have a faithful relationship, I'm sorry, with God's people. You can't have just a faithful relationship with God's people and not have a faithful relationship with God and be fully home with God either. Again, it takes both. If you don't have both, it's like having one foot in the door and one foot out. But here's what's so cool. I'm telling you, if you start having a faithful relationship with God's people, man, it's very hard then not to have a faithful relationship with God at some point. Come on, we need each other, right? I need some help. Somebody help me. You need some help too. And we got people wanting to help you. We want to help you. Look, life will happen to all of us. We will all experience varying degrees of disappointment, hurt, trouble, and difficulty in life. And we need to be reminded of God's love and his closeness during those times. We need God's people to hold on to us, to hug us, to patch us up, to keep us accountable, and to get us back on our feet. In addition, Satan will try to take you out. Come on, that's Sunday school stuff right there, right? Satan will try to take you out. Satan doesn't want you living an effective disciple life, so he will do his best to lie to you. He will do his best to tempt you, to lead you to sin. He will try to discourage you and torment you. He'll try to drive a wedge between you and God's people. He'll try to make you feel ashamed so you won't show up with God's people. He'll try to get you mad at your pastor or that person you serve with or that person in your neighborhood gathering. He will try to shame you, or he'll try to get you hurt at church so that you will disconnect from God and disconnect from God's people and ultimately be less faithful or totally unfaithful in your relationship with God. And so listen to me. It's not that God himself isn't enough during all the difficulty. It's not that he's not enough for us. He is. But here's what he does. He places his very life and his very nature in us so that when you're in the difficulty, you can experience more of his strength, more of his closeness, more of his goodness, more of his comfort and encouragement. We need it together. We need each other. I've said it every week when we've been in this series. We are better together. Amen? God's home is faithful relationship with God and with God's people. And look, here's what's so cool, okay? It's not that we're just together for the tough times. We get to be together for the fun and the fulfilling times too. Come on, it is so fun and fulfilling when we're together, right? It is so fun and fulfilling when we get to grow together. It is so fun and fulfilling when we get to bless other people together. Just for example, we had our neighborhood gathering. My neighborhood gathering got together this past week for our like annual Friendsgiving, like our Thanksgiving dinner. And so we were just hanging out, having fun. And at the end of it, I kind of did the, you know, let's tell everybody what we're thankful for. Only I didn't make everybody else do it. I just started doing it. And I began to tell our group. I was like, man, I just want you to know, me and Rachel, we are so thankful for you guys. We are so thankful that we get to be a neighborhood gathering together. And then this other couple in our neighborhood gathering, they spoke up and they're like, we're so thankful for you guys. We're so thankful for the gathering. They said this, we have never been happier in our lives than we have the past year. Our marriage has never been better than it has been the past year. That's fun. Come on, that's fun, right? You know what else is fun? People giving their lives to Jesus. You know what else is fun? People taking discipleship steps and following Jesus. You know what else is fun? Team Reborn and people helping out with the process of making more disciples around here. You know what else is fun? Cheerleaders. Come on, people discovering what it means to be cheerful givers, to people discovering what it means to bring the tithe and a whole bunch of other people getting blessed. You know what's fun? Life on 6th Street and Christmas on 6th Street. Come on, and then people wondering, why on earth would a church do that? You know what's fun? 50-cent root beer floats and people wondering, why on earth would a church do that? You know what's fun? Free hot chocolate and fudge during the Parade of Lights and people wondering, why does a church do that? You know what's gonna be so fun? Seeing an old, worn-out theater reborn for the blessing of our entire city and people wondering, why on earth would a church do that? And we get to say what we've been saying all along because Jesus loves you and we do too. And I'm telling you, our faithfulness together will only increase. More people will give their lives to Jesus and Jesus will get more glory. Come on, we're not just together for the tough times. We're together for the fulfilling times too. Plus, Jesus is smart, church. You know that, right? He is smart. He has us together so that we have a way better chance of actually fulfilling the mission he has for us. Come on, I could not see Newton Reborn all by myself. You couldn't do it alone either. But you get a whole bunch of disciples together living on mission, and it doesn't take long for the multiplication to add up, and you've got 20,000 people following Jesus, and that's fun. So I have to point this out, okay? You have to see this, all right? Here's another reason why God's home is found in faithful relationship with God and faithful relationship with his people. Okay, listen. Okay, you truly come home to God when you first enter into relationship with him by trusting in, committing to, and relying upon Jesus. That's where it all starts. Prior to that, you are not a son or a daughter of God. But once you do that, again, a spiritual change forever takes place in your life, and you get adopted into God's family. You become a part of his home. We call that being saved. You get saved from eternal death, and you get saved to have eternal life as a child of God through the life of Jesus. Okay, but here's what I want you to notice. Even though that's where it truly begins, with relationship with God, most people, and I mean most people, don't actually enter into relationship with God until they've been in some kind of relationship with God's people first. Most people get saved while being relationally discipled by church people. Let me say it this way. Most people get saved through the church. So you might hear some stories. There are some rare stories out there you might hear where somebody gets miraculously saved, like Jesus shows up and saves them, and they've never been around church people before. Things like that have happened. It's rare, and here's why. Because Jesus told the church to go make disciples. Jesus told the church, hey, you go get them saved, changed, and on mission. Go make disciples, everybody. That's the Great Commission, all right? So here's what happens, okay? Let me say it this way, okay? Let's say you don't have a relationship with God yet, okay? Let's say you have no relationship with Jesus, but nonetheless, somebody invites you to church, so you show up. Or you're just curious about Jesus. You don't want to know what's going on with that church, so you show up in church. Hopefully you show up in a church like The Gathering and everybody's really nice to you, right? And so you start getting to know church people. You start developing some relationships with church people. Before long, all of a sudden you have some friendships with some church people. And through those church people and what Jesus is doing with those church people, you end up giving your life to Jesus. And so here's what happens. When you do that, suddenly those people who just a moment ago were only your friends, suddenly now they're your brothers and sisters. And now you're a son or a daughter of God. You were just hanging out with God's family. Now you're in the family. Does that make sense? And look, that can happen at work too. Let's say you have coworkers that don't love Jesus. Anybody got any coworkers that don't love Jesus? Some of you are like, Brandon, have you seen where I work? I work in the belly of the beast. I got so many coworkers that don't love Jesus, right? But you love Jesus. And you're living on mission with Jesus, right? So you're friendly to that coworker or those coworkers that don't love Jesus. You're friendly to them. You begin to develop friendships with them. And as you're doing life with them, as you're being a friend to them, they begin to see your relationship with God, your faithfulness to God. They begin to see how fulfilling it is for you to be a part of God's family. They decide, I want that too. And so then you lead them to enter into relationship with Jesus. And all of a sudden, a fundamental forever change takes place in their life. They were just your friend a moment ago, but now they're a son or a daughter of God, and they're your brother or your sister, and you get to say, welcome home. People become a part of God's family by first entering into faithful relationship with God. But most of the time, they only do that because they've been hanging out with and are in some degree of relationship with God's people. God uses his people to get more people into his home. I'm going to guess that if you're here and you love Jesus, at some point, God used some church people or some of his people to get you to love Jesus. Come on, that's how it worked for me. I had a good friend of mine. He loved Jesus. He was living in relationship with God, faithful relationship with God, faithful relationship with God's people. So he invited me to his church. I showed up with him in church. I walked through the doors, and instantly I saw this wonderful group of people that it was clear they loved God. It was clear they loved each other, and they welcomed me in. They were so kind to me. And immediately I noticed these people have something I don't have. What is going on here? And so I hung out with them. But I'll tell you, it only took 2 Sundays of hanging out with those folks. 2 Sundays of hanging out with those folks. And I said, I need what they have. I gave my life to Jesus. And I got what they had. I got salvation. I got eternal life. I got new joy. And instantly, these people who were just my friends and so kind to me, they became my family. I got surrounded by a family, a church. They loved me. They helped me grow. They helped me love Jesus more. They even called me up and called me out sometimes. They stuck by me through some hard times. But we also had some fun and some fulfilling times together. I would not be here today if I hadn't hung out with God's family, which then led me to relationship with God, which then made me an actual part of God's home. Come on, again, that's the Great Commission right there, isn't it? And you need to know, we have people that show up here on a regular basis that have not yet started a relationship with Jesus. They don't yet know Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know that happens a lot? Do you know that means that if we say we love Jesus, then we all have a shared responsibility together to love them and help them begin to love Jesus. That's something we got to do together. That's just part of the reason it's so important that if you say you love God, you also then love his family and are in faithful relationship with his family so that together we can help other people get saved, changed, and on mission. We get to welcome home lots of people to God's family. Should I say something else that's strong, or have you guys had enough? I say all this with grace, you know that. I say this with grace, but when we have people that show up that don't know Jesus yet, and if you say you love Jesus, but you're not here consistently when we're together as a family, you're not here consistently to help us together love people that don't yet love Jesus and help them begin to love Jesus, if that's never on your radar, at some point we have to ask, do you really care about them? Do you really care about them? Do you need to come home? Do you need to come home? Do you need to enter into faithful relationship with God and faithful relationship with God's people? What is it that keeps you from doing one or the other or both? What is it that keeps you from doing that? If you're here today and you've never trusted in, committed to, and relied upon Jesus with your life, or if you're not sure if you've ever done that, what could keep you from being sure today? What could keep you from making that decision today? And maybe you're here and you say, I love Jesus, but maybe you are struggling. And maybe there are areas of your life and you want victory, you want it so bad, but you just can't seem to get victory in a certain area or certain areas. I can relate to that. Okay, listen. Or maybe there are areas that you're not even putting up a fight for yet, but all those struggles, they make you feel like you got one foot in the door and one foot out. What could keep you from bringing that thing home to God today? What could keep you from bringing that thing home to God's people today who can love you and encourage you and walk beside you so that your faithfulness to God and his people doesn't continue to get rocked? What keeps you from being faithful with God's people and is therefore keeping you from being fully faithful with God? If you feel like you're outside of God's home in any way, what's keeping you there? So look, I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers because I don't have all the answers, right? But maybe here's some reasons. These are probably some of the bigger reasons that keep us from coming home. The first one's pride. Pride's usually the number one thing that keeps us from taking that first step to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus. When you make that decision that you're going to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus, here's what you have to do. You actually have to admit to Jesus, I need your help. Pride doesn't want you to admit that you need anyone's help. Amen? Pride will convince you that that experience of asking for help or saying I need help is going to be the most dreadful thing you could ever do. That'd be the most awful thing. I'm telling you, when you actually confess to Jesus, Jesus, I need you, it'll be the most joyful experience you've ever had in your life. Your pride is lying to you. Come on, do you need to come home? Here's another big one, shame. Shame. People don't want to fully engage with God because they're convinced that God is too angry at them for their past, and they don't want to fully engage in relationship with God's people because they fear if these people ever figured out what I'm really like or what it is that I've done, then they will never fully love me. I've said this so many times around here, but it's worth saying again, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you no matter what, and so do we. Church, I got so many things in my past that I've done that I'm ashamed of. But I don't live in constant shame because Jesus took it away. Here's what I did. I told Jesus about the things that I'd done, and he didn't reject me. He loved me. I've even told a whole bunch of church family members over the years what I've done, and they didn't reject me. They loved me. Come on, don't believe the lie of shame. Don't let shame keep you from coming home. And I know there are many of you beginning to experience, man, this family really loves me no matter what. They mean what they say. Yes, we do. Come on, you want to get past shame? Here's how you can begin to get past shame. Tell Jesus about what you've done and let him love you. Tell somebody you trust here at church about what you've done and let them love you. Tell the prayer leader after service. Tell your neighborhood gathering leader. Tell Pastor Greg or myself, let us love you. And then consistently show up here and just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else, and let us demonstrate that we will consistently continue to love you for who you are. Here's another reason, and this goes along with shame. Sometimes we think so little of ourselves that we don't think we have anything to contribute. We think we are so insignificant. You have permission to stop that today. God loves you. That's the truth. And if God loves you, that means you have immeasurable value, immeasurable potential, and we want to be in relationship with you because we love you, and we want that potential to be unleashed. We want you to become everything that God knows you can be. You're not a nobody, you're a somebody. Welcome home. Sometimes we don't come home because we're angry. Some of us are angry from past church experiences. Or we might be angry about something else, but sometimes we're angry at the church, and that past church experience keeps us from coming home. I'll say it again, we are not perfect around here. And we are not perfect. We aren't. And there's a good chance if you hang out with us for too long, you'll probably have the opportunity to get offended at some point. I probably already offended you today. But listen to me. We are trying hard to be a family of people that's slow to get offended. So you might find yourself in an experience like this. Let's say you're in a neighborhood gathering and you're like, I can't believe Betty Sue just told me my cream corn is nasty. It wasn't even the canned cream corn. It was the real stuff. Doesn't she know? But then you're going to make up your mind. You're going to say, but I'm going to choose not to get offended. I'm kind of shocked that I'm not even getting offended. Jesus, what is happening to me? And you remind yourself, maybe she was just having a bad day. And I'm going to choose to believe the truth that my cream corn is legit. So I'm going to forgive and I'm going to let that go. That may have been a bad analogy. We don't normally trash each other's food in neighborhood gathering. We're very kind to each other. Listen, we're also trying to live lifestyles of repentance together. Jesus knows we're not perfect, so he says, be repentant. Be repentant. We're trying hard to be kind and considerate and quick to forgive, quick to ask forgiveness if we sin against one another. Don't let a past church experience or anger keep you from coming home. Sometimes it's just busyness. We prioritize other things. We prioritize other relationships or stuff over God and God's people. Sometimes it's just selfishness and laziness. Now, again, I'm not going to claim to have all the reasons, okay? But here's one more. Here's a big one. Sometimes we don't come fully home because we are hurting. Because we're really hurting. Because we are so discouraged and have been so disappointed by something or someone. Perhaps something tragic has happened or something depressing has happened or is happening, and we don't understand why. And so we question God. And when we're around God's people, sometimes we even get frustrated or maybe even resentful because we look around and we think, man, these people got joy. These people have all this stuff that I don't have, and here I am stuck in the middle of this mess, and I don't know how to get out. Church, I am sorry if you are hurting. I really am. Please believe this today. Isolating yourself will not make it better. Inconsistency with your church family will not heal the hurt. Inconsistency will only leave you in a perpetual state of why me versus coming home to God will give God the opportunity to say what for. Come home. Let God and let us love you. I'm going to read from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is Jesus. This is what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He's saying, hitch up to me. Hitch yourself up to me. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will. This is a promise right here. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Hitching up to me is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's Jesus. Now check this out. This is the church's turn right here. 1 John 4:12. Watch this. No one has ever seen God, but if we, come on, it's the church's turn. If we love each other, God lives in us. God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Come on, we need each other. We are better together. I'm not sure what reason you may have, but friends, everything you're looking for in life is found in God's home. Now, I'm not sure what could keep you from coming home or what reason you might have, but everything you're looking for is in God's home. It's found in faithful relationship with God and faithful relationship with his people. Come on, do you need to come home? And here's how you come home. You want to know how to come home? Here it is, okay? Listen to me. It's so simple. You come home by beginning to take faithful steps in your relationship with God and faithful steps in your relationship with God's people. That's how it begins. You start a relationship with God. You start a relationship with God's people. You begin. I'm telling you, that's why it's so easy. Here's the number one. If you don't know what other step to take, you determine now I'm going to show up when God's people are together. Take that step. Here's how you then stay home. You want to know how to stay home? Here's how you stay home. You take ever-increasing steps of faithfulness in your relationship with God and with God's people. You will find yourself at home. God wants you to come home, be home, and stay home, and so do we. Church, can I show you God's home all throughout the Bible? Can I show you what God's home looks like all throughout the Bible? Can I show you how his home has always, and I mean always, been in the context of faithful relationship with him and faithful relationship with his people? That has always been his plan. In fact, that's God's future for us as well. That's what heaven is actually going to look like, okay? There's a phrase that runs throughout the entire Bible. It's a phrase that God says over and over again. He's describing what he wants, okay? And so I'm talking about it begins in near the very beginning and it goes all the way to the end. We see God say this all throughout the Word. So listen, I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures. You don't need to turn to them. They're not going to show up on the screen. I just want you to listen. Okay, I heard these scriptures a number of years ago. But shortly after I got saved, I was working at an ad agency in Kansas City, and I was sitting in my cubicle, and I would just listen to messages. And I heard this pastor share these scriptures. And I'm in the middle of my cubicle, and I'm just crying. I just wept. Because I heard the heart of God. I heard God's cry for what he wants for you and me. And I said, I was like, this is what you want, God. This is what you've always wanted. We get so confused and we go after all the wrong things. We prioritize all the wrong things. We do all these unnecessary things when all along this is all you want. Come on, can I show you God's heart? Can I show you God's home? Listen to me, this is God speaking in all of these right here, okay? I'm going to start right here in Exodus, beginning of your Bible. Exodus 6:7, he says, I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. Leviticus 26:12, and I will walk among you, and you will, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7:23, God says, this is what I told them. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well. Jeremiah 11:4, listen to my voice and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah 30:22, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 31:33, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 11:19-20, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. And they will obey my decrees and regulations, then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 14:11, they will be my people, and I will be their God. The sovereign Lord has spoken. Ezekiel 36:28, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37:23, they will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding. We're having some church now. And I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 37:27. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hosea 2:23, specifically speaking to Gentiles, you and me right here, specifically talking to us. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Zechariah 8:8, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Zechariah 13:9, they will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8:10, speaking of relationship with Jesus, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. One more. All the way to the very end. Revelation 21:3-4. I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Do you hear the heart of God? Do you hear what God wants? He says, I want a people. I want a family. I created them to be like me. I created them to be with me and with each other forever. Church, that's what it's all about. That's where God wants us now. And that's where God is taking us. God's home is faithful relationship with him and faithful relationship with his people. Do you need to come home? What reason has kept you from coming home? And what decision do you need to make today so that you can come home? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Church family, we're going to celebrate communion here in just a moment. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Do you need to come home? Do you need to make the decision today to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus? Do you need to give your life to Him today? What could keep you from making that decision right now? God loves you. Come on, you just heard His heart. He wants you with Him. He wants to do life with you now and forever. What would happen if you say right now, God, I want what you want for me. God, I want to put my life into your hands. I want to be a part of your family. What do you say? Jesus, save me. I give my life to you. I guarantee if you pray that, even just that, and you mean it, Jesus answers that prayer. Jesus answers that prayer. He says, welcome home. You become a brand new creation. 2 seconds ago, you might have just been hanging out with us. Now you're in the family. We want that for everybody. Come on, is there an area of your life? Is there any part of your life that you've been living outside of God's home? What needs to come home? Do you have something you need to bring home to God today, or something you need to confess to Him today? What could keep you from saying, God, here it is. I want you to take this. I want to be in your home fully. And do you need to commit to be with the family? Say, you know what, I'm gonna take that step. Well, if you don't know any other step to take, what if you commit right now to God? God, I'm gonna start showing up with your family consistently. Well, here's what we say, welcome home. Welcome home, church family.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.